Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through verse 26. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. May God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Arguably the most important word in the entire Bible is the word propitiation. If you will listen carefully and observe the text, if you understand this truth, you will never worry about your eternal security again. You will never ever worry whether heaven is really your home and the life that you have is truly eternal if you understand the truth of propitiation. That's what we're teaching today. In Hebrews chapter 10, look in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for Me." Would you pray with me, please? Father, teach us today that for centuries You allowed the Jews fellowship with You because You temporarily covered their sin through the Kippur, the atonement, the covering. But Father, remind us that on the hill called Calvary, the bill came due and the payment was made in full. Help us to understand the truth of propitiation, that Jesus Christ's death on the cross fully and forever satisfies You against our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. God demanded death as a just payment for sin. And all through the Bible, we see this. We see it beginning with Adam and Eve, and God clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of animals, meaning that animals had died to become a propitiation for the sin of Adam and Eve. And through the altars of Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then to Moses and all the sacrificial system, the animals died and the blood flowed. But not one of those animals, not the death of even one of those animals, ever satisfied God fully. If the death of just one animal had really propitiated God, then all of the sacrificial system would have been abolished. And the Jew would have had no more consciousness of their guilt before God. But the guilt always returned. And the blood sacrifices kept being offered for hundreds of years. Until finally, one day, the bill came due. Now I want you to flip with me to Exodus chapter 25. God told Moses something strange when Moses was up on Sinai and he received the Ten Commandments. You remember that story. God burned those commandments into stone. You saw the movie, didn't you? But he said something else that's amazing. Look in verse 40. He told Moses to build a tabernacle. That is, I want you to build this physical structure called the tabernacle. But I want you to build it a certain way. Look in verse 40. Exodus 25:40, and see to it, this is God speaking to Moses, that you make them according to the, here it is, pattern which was shown you in the mountain. In other words, God gave him a particular pattern to follow when he built the tabernacle. Look over in chapter 26, verse 30. He says it again. Same verse, same idea. God speaking, and you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. Look up here. Very important that you get this. God told Moses, you build it like I tell you to build it. Now there's a reason for that. And it's a very important reason. Now, I want us to look briefly into the sacrificial service and the use of the tabernacle. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9 with me. And we're going to look carefully into the doctrine of propitiation. If you see this, now I say that very guardedly because it's an invisible truth. Remember when Paul said, for we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporary. They're locked in time and they're going to perish. There's going to come a day when this podium is no longer here. It's hard to believe, isn't it? That these pews will no longer be here. This building will no longer stand on this place. There's going to come a time when that will happen. You say, not in my lifetime. That's right. Or maybe even the lifetime of your children. But there's coming a time when all this will be gone. That's why God says it's so important that we walk by faith, not by sight. That we begin to see those heavenly truths that are important for us to see with the eyes of our mind. The invisible truths that we base our life on. Well, this is the glimpse I want you to catch today. Because if you catch it, like I said, you'll no longer worry about your eternal destiny. That will never be in question. So Hebrews chapter 9, I want us to look, first of all, at an earthly sanctuary. For hundreds of years, the Jews were allowed fellowship with God through this physical tabernacle that God told Moses to build after the pattern on the earth. So here we go. Verse 1. Now, even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship. Now, notice, and the earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Here's what we have. This tabernacle was fashioned after a pattern that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Huge room on the outer tabernacle. And in that outer tabernacle was the table of showbread and the golden lampstand and the altar of incense. And there was a little inner, small room, inner tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. And in that little room was what was called the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And on either end of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant were two cherubim glaring down. And inside that little wooden box called the Ark of the Covenant were three articles. There were the broken law, the pieces of the broken law. Remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the people were involved in all kinds of problems. And he threw the law and it shattered. Well, there were pieces that were put inside the Ark of the Covenant. And the pieces of the broken law reminded the people of their sin. They had rebelled against God. They had already broken God's law even before they received it. Then there was Aaron's rod that budded. You remember that story of there were people who wanted to bypass Moses, bypass Aaron as the priest. They wanted their own leadership. They didn't want Aaron. They didn't want Moses. And God says, I'm sorry, but these are my priests, and I've given you Aaron. So he showed them graphically that he was going to make that choice by causing Aaron's rod to bud. It was a dead rod, a dead stick. But this dead stick produced little growth, little limbs of green. Amazing. And they put that in there, pieces of it. It wouldn't fit in there, the whole rod, obviously. Just pieces. To remind the people that they had rebelled against God's order. And then they put pieces of the manna. Remember, God fed the Israelites manna. Hebrew, what is it? They had what is it for breakfast, what is it for lunch, and what is it for supper? They had manna till they were up to here, and they said, we want some meat. So they rebelled against God. God told them, look, just take what you need because there'll always be there plenty for you the next day. Just take what you need. Trust me for the rest. You know what they did? They hoarded that stuff. And it became rotten and a stench. They rebelled against God's provision. So they put pieces of the manna in the Ark of the Covenant. So we got a rebellion against God's law, a rebellion against God's order, a rebellion. All have sinned and rebelled against God. Rebellion, rebellion. Wages of sin is death. So we have an earthly sanctuary. Then we have an earthly service. That's the second thing I want you to see. Look in verses 6 and 7 of Hebrews 9. Now when these things have been thus prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle performing the divine worship. Now notice, but into the second only the high priest enters, once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. So the priests, they would go in and out that first room often. But once a year, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the Day of the Covering. And on that day, that one day a year, only the high priest would go in by himself, but not without blood. And he would offer the blood, he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And the blood would come between the judgmental eyes of the cherubim as they glared down, and the sin that was in the Ark of the Covenant. So between the judgment and the sin was spread the blood. And the blood became the Kippur, the covering, the temporary atonement. That's what the word Kippur means. And that covering satisfied God for 1 year. Year after year, the most important day in Israel's history was Yom Kippur, the Day of the Covering. Because the high priest would go in alone. Now this is very important. He would go in alone, out of the eyesight of the people. They never saw what happened in there. There was a private meeting between the high priest and God alone. And then there was the offering of the blood, but it was a temporary covering. It never really satisfied God. If it had satisfied God, then the tabernacle could have been abolished, and there would have been no more consciousness of guilt, no more consciousness of sins that would come into the minds of the people. Because God would have been satisfied forever. But He wasn't. Look in verses 8 and 9, or 8 through 10 rather, the earthly significance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this. This is a significance. That the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Now what the writer of Hebrews is saying is while the earthly sanctuary was still being used, it was a symbol for a time yet to come. That is, it had a visual significance. It had an earthly significance. Now let's read on. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. This earthly ministry was a symbol. It signaled that the way into the real holy place had not yet been revealed. It was something built that they could see with their eyes, they could touch with their hands. It was a physical tabernacle. It was locked in time, but it was destined to perish. Now let's turn the page in our thinking and let's talk about a heavenly sanctuary. Look in Hebrews 9, look in verse 11. You see the little word but? That's a very important contrast. Because what we're doing is we're moving from the earthly now into the heavenly. We're moving from the seen and known into the unseen and unknown. We're moving from the temporal into the eternal. We're moving from the symbolic into the real. We're making a transition. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Centuries later, God became a member of the human race in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did so in order to become our real high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who would make the final and forever offering for sin. On a hill called Calvary, a special high priest made the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Now remember, God told Moses, "You make that tabernacle after the pattern that I will show you." Let's read on. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Now watch this. Not made with hands. Hold it. Stop right there. This is the real. The tabernacles on the earth were all fashioned with men's hands. They were made out of physical material. But here's a tabernacle not made with hands. Now notice this. That is not of this creation. This creation is locked in time and space. But the tabernacle that we're now talking about, it's a heavenly tabernacle. Now notice, here we go, let's read on. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, notice, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, men saw a human being hanging there dying. But while that was going on, the Spirit of Jesus Christ was very active. And when He died, something happened that's amazing. He carried His blood, not into that physical tabernacle and spread it on that physical Ark of the Covenant. He carried His blood into the very presence of God Himself. into the real holy place, for which that temporal holy place, that physical holy place, was just the pattern. He took it into the real. That's why God said, Moses, you make it after the pattern that I will show you. Because this that you're making is a replica of the real. But the real is the spiritual. It's that which you cannot see. It's the very throne of God. It's the real Ark of the Covenant. Look at the heavenly service, verse 22 and 24, Hebrews 9. Look at it carefully. Now I'm reading here out of the New American Standard Version. And according to law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. Now wait a minute. The physical was the copies. The real was in heaven. You see this? And it was necessary that the copies be cleansed with the blood of the animals, the physical. Look, keep going. But the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. Now notice this next line. It's very important. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself. Now, is this preaching or is this what the Bible says? Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, my eyes can't see that. It's beyond my human sight. But Paul says, what is real is that which is beyond our human sight. Now, listen, what's going on here? For centuries, God allowed the Jew fellowship with Him. God allowed the Jew to be saved on credit. That's the atonement, the covering, the covering, the covering, the Kippur. But one day, just like we received the bills for those credit cards, the bill came due. The debt had to be paid. This is what Paul means back in Romans when he says, He became our propitiation for sins that were past. God's integrity was in the balance. God had to be satisfied. He had to be just. He had to be fair. Sin had to be paid for. God's character was at stake. And for centuries, God said, yeah, I'll pass over you because of the blood. I'll allow you into my presence because of the blood. Because this physical high priest is coming in and putting the blood on the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat. I'll allow you fellowship with me, but it's temporary. Bill's going to come due. And one day, God took upon flesh and He became our real high priest. Now notice, let's read on. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now look down in verses 25 and 26. Look at it carefully. Now that He should offer Himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood, not His own. Otherwise, He would have needed to suffer since the foundation of the world. That is, if Jesus Christ had made just the temporary sacrifice with His work on the cross, He would have to give Himself over and over and over, just like the high priest offering the blood on the mercy seat, over and over and over. But notice it says, but now, here it is, once, at the consummation of the ages, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of whom? Of Himself. He didn't carry the blood of the animals in there before God. He carried His own blood. Our high priest became our sacrifice. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what was going on behind the scenes was so very important. What men saw with their physical eyes wasn't the whole story. When Jesus Christ died, a private meeting that took place in the heavenlies, a private meeting between our high priest and God the Father Himself, just like that private meeting that took place in the Holy of Holies was just a symbol. It wasn't the real in the heavens, was the real. And here comes our high priest into the throne room of Almighty God with His shed blood as a final payment, a forever payment. Not a kippur, not a covering, but a final payment. He paid the debt in full. Now we saw at the beginning that if there had been one animal, if there had been one sacrifice that could have propitiated God, then the sacrificial system would have been done away with. And here's the good part. There would have been no more consciousness of guilt before God. No more consciousness of guilt before God. Because now God has been just with Himself. God has been propitiated. Now He can be just and the justifier of those who believe. He can be fair and declare to be right all who come to Him by faith. That's what our Romans passage says. That's what propitiation means. Propitiation means God has been fully and forever satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ against our sin. We will never be held accountable for our sin again. Never. It's done. It's finished. That's propitiation. So what kind of life do you have? Eternal life. Is that ever in jeopardy? It is never in jeopardy. Is your destiny secure? It is secure. Because God has been propitiated. That is the beauty of the heavenly significance. Your debt has been paid in full, and that's put to your account. You have been declared right before God based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ for your sin. Not by our works of righteousness which we have done. God has already paid the debt that we owe Him. It's done. But the blood, the efficacy, the effectiveness of the blood, the value of the blood is placed on the account only of those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's credited to the account of those who trust Him. Would you do it if you never have? Would you believe in Him? By faith, you can receive the benefits. Father, we love You and we thank You for the worth and value of Your Word. We thank You for what we have seen in our mind's eye concerning the physical tabernacle, that which was used on the earth for centuries. But Father, we have also witnessed the heavenly significance of that. We see the real. We see it with our mind's eye. We see it through the eyes of faith. We see it not because we can touch it, not because we can smell the fires of the burnt offering, but we see it because we see the value of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for us. We see the worth of it. Its value is without measure. We could never put a price tag on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We can only receive the benefits of it by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, give us the wisdom to do that. And help us to see that this little passage is the highlight of the book of Romans. It crescendos right here. And Father, it should cause our minds to sing the Hallelujah chorus, knowing that our sin has been forever paid for. And there's not one sin left for us to pay for, not one. And Father, it's my prayer that everyone in this room has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Everyone in this room has believed in Him and has received eternal life because of it. Thank You for our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you